Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for the sunshine today. It's a beautiful day and the Sabbath is approaching and we're grateful for that. Lord, as we understand more of this technology, we pray for your wisdom and your insight. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that you give us here to win souls. And we pray that you would continuously put that burden on our hearts and help us to be kind to those around us and love our neighbors, to show them your character so that they may be one to the kingdom. Lord, we love you. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, today, I know we've gone over a lot over the past few days, so today we're going to just kind of do a little bit of question and answer. If there's not a ton of questions, I'll continue going through the Facebook business manager, and then also I'll start showing you how to set up the integration with ManyChat because we touched on that a little bit yesterday. And then I'll talk to you a little about an opportunity that you guys have with Google. So before I dive into anything, is there any pressing questions? Yes.
I have just wanted to do a sound page.
Okay.
Can you tell us how to do an event?
Okay, on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds simple, but some of us are struggling. Get them up there, but it gets confusing.
Can everybody see the...
It's really basic.
All right, so you're going to go to your church's page, and hopefully we have good internet today. If we don't. All right. So once you're at your church's page, you're going to go down to the left side where it says events, and then simply click this button right here that says create event. And then after that, you can upload the cover photo, or you can even upload a video if you'd like to. Your event name, description, all of this information here. And I believe you can moderate it a little bit too. Yeah, so you can make it so that only admins can post in the event, or you can make it so anybody can post, which I recommend anybody, so that you can have a little bit of a conversation there and answer questions if anybody has them. So, is that okay? Good, good, good. Yes.
I have a couple of questions. One is, I'm the webmaster. People friend me. I have a personal life and I have a institutional life.
Yeah.
I'm afraid there's some people I don't want on my personal page.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mind to be on my institutional page. So how do I know when I'm accepting a friend, if they go into my bucket or in the church's bucket?
Okay, so your church is set up like this, right, as a Facebook page? Or do you guys have a profile? I ask that because some people, they create profiles, but they don't know the difference of their page. So if it's set up as a page, you can simply, let's say, go back here. You're simply just inviting people to like your page so that they can become subscribers. And you're going to do that over here, right? Right here. So, see where it says invite friends? So you can simply invite your friends. Let this pop up here. And you can select which friends you want to invite to the page, or you can just select all of them, which it only selects a certain amount of them on the page, and you have to make it load and keep loading and all of that stuff. So does that kind of answer your question there? Or?
That helps, but uh-huh. What if somebody says, I would like to like you, and maybe they have,
right?
There's some people, I don't really mean to be exclusive, but they have certain baggage.
They're going to comment negative things and stuff
right.
Like that.
And so I don't necessarily.
Right.
I think he's thinking he's living a split life.
Yes.
So a friend request comes in, how does he know? Is it from his friend, his actual personal page or search page or whatever?
Yeah. If you're receiving a friend request, that's going to be for your profile, your personal profile.
Okay.
So if you accept them, they're not going to go to your page unless you invite them to your page there. If for some reason you get some crazy comments or something like that, you can simply delete them. And yeah, I believe you can actually block people too from that.
So for instance, I have some friends that they're missionary friends, okay?
Okay.
But I don't necessarily want them on my institutional page.
Uh-huh.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they will say, I accept them and I understand where they're at, but I don't want their thought pattern to, quote unquote, contaminate my institutional page.
I just wouldn't invite them to like your institutional page.
It's because they're friends doesn't mean, and I'm a webmaster, doesn't mean that they transfer over to my institutional page.
No, if they're your personal friend, no.
That, I'm glad you clarified that because I've hesitated doing some things. Because
for sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Any other questions? Yeah.
Very basic, too. And I understand why Facebook advertising is so much better. But can you just go over boosting the post so I can just kind of wrap my brain around that?
Sure thing. So once you publish something on Facebook, you have this option to boost it, or you can do it while you're publishing it. So, for example, just pull up a random photo here. So you see how you can write something in there, and then you can simply boost it here while you're publishing it. And when you're doing this, make sure that, because I showed you guys how to set up your ad accounts a few days ago, just make sure you have it on the right ad account, because if you don't, it's going to, you're going to charge someone else. And so, like, right now, see, it automatically pulls up my personal one. I just want to make sure that I'm on, the right ad account so it doesn't charge that. And then the controls are right here, and you can select, how many days you want to publish it for and all that stuff. With videos, you can put a link in it, so you can drive traffic to a website if you want to. Does that kind of answer your question?
And that all the available choices, that you don't have any choice at all to select off like a certain audience or anything?
With your boost.
With your boost.
You do. Let me X out of this one because it's not giving me all the stuff here. So when you boost a post, it's not going to let me do it, is it? Maybe it's because I'm not on that. Yeah, I don't know why it's not showing up right here right now. Maybe it's because we just boosted this one not that long ago. Let me try another page really quick. But basically, when you go into your business manager, like we're doing here, and you go up to this section up here, all tools, audiences, like we did a few days ago, and then you start creating these audiences, they will show up when you boost a post. You just have to either create the custom audiences or saved audiences, like I mentioned here. Let me try another page really quick. I don't know why this one's being strange. So, okay. Okay, here we go. So you see how it says audience? Now I'm going to click this one that says see all, and it's going to show all the audiences that we have for this specific ad account. So like we're not on the right ad account right now. So again, make sure it's always selected to the right ad account, or else you're going to charge the wrong person. Or you can just click this one that says custom audiences, and it's going to show you all of the custom audiences from the back end there.
So there are times when, like, even though you know everything else about how to do the Facebook advertising, you still find it useful to do the simple boost post sometimes?
So what I do, because, you know, I follow a different kind of, it just depends on the person and the account and everything like that. So a lot of times when I'm boosting a post, I'm never using the basic targeting options like this, right, which is what most people are doing. So if they go people you choose through targeting and then edit, and this is all it gives you, right? I'm using custom audiences that I've set up in the back end so that I've already, you know, I already have that control. I've already set up all the controls there. So a lot of times what I do is I'll boost it to one of the audiences, and then I'll come in here. I go to Ads Manager. Sorry for those of you who are just joining us today. It's kind of been a, you know, build up to this. So if you have any specific questions, feel free to raise your hand and I can try to touch on that. So for example, if I'm going to boost a post, I'll do a split test so that I'm kind of grouping my audiences in different buckets so that at the end of the day, I know which audience performed well. If you group them all into one, you know, bucket, you'll never know which, you know, little segment outperformed. And we do this so that we know where to reallocate our budget. We split up our $100 budget 10 ways and run those to 10 different audiences, and we notice that two of those audiences outperform the other 8. We'll take our other remaining budget that we have, and we'll put it behind those 2 and stop running our ads to those 8. So just showing you how to do like a simple split test here.
Being a wise steward.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to make sure that we get the most out of the ad spend. So I just kind of skipped through these two sections here, which we've already gone over, but at the ad level, you'll see this option right here that says use existing post. And then, and just make sure that that's all correct. Select post. And now you're able to select a post that's already on the page that you've already published. And so the cool thing is that that post is published one time on the page, and now I can come from the back end and publish it from the back end however many times I want to, and it's only going to show up that it's been published from the page one time. So it's not going to show up like spammy on your page where it looks like it's been posted over and over and over again.
So, which is what a standard boost post would be like, or...
Well,
or not, because
you can't split test with just boosting a post. It's not going to let you run the ad multiple times.
The reason I asked that follow-up question is because I told you yesterday I tried to boost what I was doing, and through our mission trip. And then at some point, somebody, some stranger, I don't know, somehow I got a message from someone telling me that there was like a nuisance, like they kept seeing an advertisement like for something, and I didn't know how I did that or how I stopped that.
For sure.
And so that's why I...
Yeah, well, that's a great point. I can show you guys how to set kind of a manual frequency cap. So frequency has to deal with how many times your ad has been delivered to the same person. So I agree, sometimes it can get annoying. Sometimes we do it intentionally. We want people to see the ad over and over and over again because we're driving that point home. But I'm going to show you how to set a manual frequency cap for your saved audiences. So you go to audiences, and then we'll just... The internet's pretty slow today. There's probably a lot of people trying to use it. We're going to go to saved audience. Actually, first we have to create the custom audience, and we can pull it into a saved audience. So you'll start off by creating a custom audience, and you'll want to go to the Facebook page one, and then anybody who's engaged with any of your posts or ad. Let's just make sure it's in the right one. Again, I'm just going to do this so my guy does not use this. Okay. So, set it for like, maybe 3 days so that they're not seeing that. If they've seen the ad 3 days ago, they won't see it again for another 3 days, right? You can adjust that just however many days you want to do it. So there's that. And now we go and we create a saved audience. And so what we're going to do is we're going to target, let's say, anybody, yeah, these are the ones we did yesterday. Anybody who's watched 25% of our videos, we're going to target those people, but we're also going to exclude people who've seen any of our ads within the last 3 days, right? So that's how you do it here, and then you just have to name it. And you can create audience. So, does that answer your question? Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't necessarily have to explain how, you're mentioning that split test where you test your 10 audiences and pick the two. Can you do that in just one campaign, or each one just splitting maybe two tests and all of them?
Okay, so I just want to make sure I'm understanding your question correctly. So here at the campaign level, you can take, and let's say our objective is to get video views for that campaign. Then we go and we're just going to kind of skip through the ad set stuff. And now we can create, we can take the same ad. Basically, we would just say we're targeting audience one here at ad set level. And then at the ad level, we're pulling in one that already exists. Where are we at? There it is.
You do 10 different ads.
I wouldn't say that's a perfect number.
I chose like split test and switch.
Oh, you're saying you chose like the split test option from Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just gave you the two
right
options.
So Facebook has a this automatic split testing feature where you can select it at the campaign level. Mm-hmm. And what will happen is Facebook will choose a winner for you after your ad has been delivered to 500 people. So the reason that I don't like using Facebook's automatic split test feature is because personally, I don't think that an ad being delivered to 500 people determines a winner. I think it takes a little bit more than that, and there's some other variables in there. So that's just my preference personally. And that's kind of it. But so that answers the question. Okay, good. So yeah, for here you can split test different audiences, and then also you can split test different ads, and you can keep those all in the same, you know, campaign here, because remember the campaign is like the house and the ad set is like the rooms in the house, and then the ad, it's like furniture in the rooms in the house. So you can have multiple ads inside of multiple ad sets inside of one campaign. Yes.
What would you expect to get from a typical ad campaign if you outsourced versus what you would do if you attempted to do something
else? I am trying to understand that question a little bit more. Can you...
So if I paid a marketing company to do an ad campaign, what would be a routine ad campaign that you could expect them to do for compared to what would I be doing to do if I tried to do this myself?
I would say it just depends on your level of expertise for sure. And the, yeah, okay. So if you're, and then it also depends on the expertise of the agency that you're hiring and all of that stuff as well. But typically what I do when I'm managing a campaign is I go there on a daily basis. I actually have someone who works for me that does the daily part of it, and I meet with him weekly, and then we go over it together. So it's a little bit more attention to detail. Our expertise is very high because we do this for a lot of people, and so you know, we start up with an entire plan and map it out ahead of time, just to kind of give you guys an idea of what type of stuff we do. I'm just going to show you kind of the evolution of it all here. So you can see here we've got all these ones that say post really quick. All these ones that say post in front of them.
This is 93 campaigns.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to kind of emphasize here. So all these ones that say post, whenever you boost a post, it creates its own campaign for you. It doesn't follow that same format of like one ad or multiple ads inside of ad sets and campaigns. It just does it automatically for you. So just know that. So these are just kind of, you know, individual things, but these other ones that are like DR, RT, these are direct response retargeting. You can see here. So like if I show you this, we have 161 ad sets, and then we have 200 that are showing, but there's 1,074, right? Where I just want you to pay attention to these images here. It's the same image, right? We're just using, I don't remember, it's maybe 7-8 ads total as far as like videos and graphics. But we're just using them over and over and over and over again in different audiences at different times and stuff like that. So it's not a, you know, push the magical blue button and walk away type of thing. It's a, you know, you're in there every day looking at what's going on and making decisions. So again, it kind of depends on the level of expertise that you're hiring, but it can get complex pretty quick. And that's why I told you guys, start off with a plan. For us, we don't necessarily need to do it as much anymore. But when I first started, you know, take a spreadsheet and just map everything out ahead of time. And for you guys, you're not going to be at this level where you're doing 1,000 ads, right? You might do like 100 or something like that. So, or 10. Right? So, that's just to kind of give you a better understanding of that, yeah. So, any other questions? No? Okay. Well,
can you set up a dummy concept interview with some sort of, I mean, something where you could play with it a little bit, not just to learn about it? Because I notice you keep going into pages that you are your pages, and you keep backing out of it because you realize you don't want that thing to actually happen.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know if you could do something where you could try to learn something, where you could kind of figure out
the basic concept. I just want to take you guys to places that actually have something going on so you can see. And I can pull things from it, but I do have some that I use somewhere. Hello. So, yeah, there's some in here. Where's some that I'm not all going to show up, but this is my personal one. I actually use that one. This is one that I was doing. I had another one. It was like Three Angels Church or something like that that I was using. So yeah, you can do that. Yeah, just don't invite anybody to it, and nobody will see it. So yeah. Well, if there's no more questions at this moment, if any do come up, please raise your hand, and I'd love to answer them. So yesterday we were talking about this really fabulous tool. It's called ManyChat, and ManyChat is basically the new form of, I would say, email, just to simplify it for you guys. You know, you're able to send out broadcasts to people in Facebook Messenger and, you know, get them to subscribe and all that fun stuff. So I showed you guys a little bit of what's going on here yesterday. Now, I want to show you guys how to integrate a few different things with a really nice tool called Zapier so that everything can communicate correctly. And one of the things I want to touch on, too, we have enough time, is tracking. One of the issues that I've realized is tracking for churches. So, you know, you'll put out these ads, and then you really won't know if these people actually showed up to your church event. And, you know, we rely on a really old method of pencil and paper, and how did you hear about us, and then put a check next to the one. And I believe that people get hit from multiple angles. You know, they'll see a billboard, they'll get a mailer, they'll see a Facebook ad. So before I dive into ManyChat, I actually want to touch on that. So what you'll do is you can either have like a MailChimp form that says, you know, name, email, phone number, and maybe zip code, and just push on that information here into Facebook into this tab that's called offline events. That's one way of doing it. Another way is just have someone at the registration table log all of that information, which they probably are doing anyways, and then you can simply upload it in here. Except, what you say? And what will happen is Facebook is going to, Facebook's going to hash all of that out. So here, you take that file, upload it in there. Obviously, I don't have one to upload, but upload it in there, and Facebook's going to hash out that data and say, hey, this person saw this ad in the last, you know, 90 days. So this is a much more efficient way to track your church events using Facebook advertising than just kind of sitting there guessing, hey, where did our money go? Did it work? I don't know. So you can do it manually like that, or you can set up an integration with this tool right here called Zapier, where you can take MailChimp, right? And I don't have my MailChimp account connected to this. So let's see if it works. There it is. And what this tool does, it just gets two applications communicating. So what will happen here is I can set it up where, you know, let's say you have it on an iPad at your registration table. Once they fill it out and press submit, it's going to trigger this right here. You know, new subscriber, so it'll trigger when someone subscribes. And then from there, it's going to want me to connect my account and all that stuff. But I don't have it set up with this. So it'll trigger there. And then once it triggers, it'll push it automatically into Facebook for you, for every single one of those people. So that's a little bit of a more automated way to do it, rather than having to do it manually. But you can do both. You can either do it automated or manual. So that's how you do that. And let's say with ManyChat, you know, you have just kind of like what you guys are doing. When I provide my resource links to you guys, I'm giving you guys these links, and then it's doing something like this, right? It's saying, you know, welcome, Susie. Thank you for subscribing. Then immediately it says, is this your correct email? And it pulls up your email that you have associated with your Facebook account. You click on it, and then when you guys click on this, it's actually getting pushed through to a Google Sheet, so it's logged, and then from there, it's getting pushed through to our CRM, right, our customer relationships management tool, also like MailChimp or ActiveCampaign, something like that. So, okay. So, yeah, so MailChimp is a place to house all of your emails. You can use Constant Contact, ActiveCampaign. There's kind of like a an Adventist CRM that's called Disciples, which I've been talking with the developer, Thomas Bell, and he's actually working on getting this part of it set up for you guys so that it can communicate with Zapier and integrate with other tools. So, don't know how far along that is, but it is coming. And I know a lot of people in the Michigan Conference have Disciples already, so that'll be nice for you guys. But just know that when someone subscribes or when someone interacts with us at whatever point, you know, they're over on, you know, your website here, and you have the little customer chat thing that pops up down here, whenever the page loads. If they even click this button and start having a conversation, they're now subscribed to your list, right? If they try to message your Facebook page, they're now subscribed to your list. If you put out a messenger ad and they engage with it whatsoever, they're now subscribed to your list. So, whereas email, you know, you always want to have a good email list so that you can communicate to people. Well, email open rates are at like 5 to 10% if you're lucky and you have good stuff, right? Well, the open rates for this are like 90%. And I'll show you here with one that we sent out so far for these guys. And again, I showed you guys this yesterday, but we've only been running this ad for them since May 21st. And we've got 1,835 subscribers so far. So it can work really well, you know, just having it set up. Like, I set this up for GYC and we didn't run any messenger ads for them. And it's just set up on their page and they have 339 subscribers just for having it set up, right? So just having it set up without running any ads will help you tremendously to start getting people subscribed to your list. And now once they're subscribed, you can send them updates on every time you have a church event, every time you have, you know, a concert or cooking school or anything like that. So you can see here, at that point, we only had 765 subscribers. 653 of them actually read the message we sent them. We didn't have a link, so there was no click-through rate. Right? So the reason it works so well is because they get a notification on their phone, their pocket, you know, buzzes and dings. They look at it, oh, message from GYC, message from, you know, the church or whatever. Open it, and now they're able to engage. You can have flows built up where, you know, it's like, what's your favorite food? They click on pizza, cucumbers, tacos, right? And then it's like, oh, great, I like tacos too. Here's a favorite recipe, right? So you can have it built so it's really interactive like that. Yes. You pushing them to Facebook Messenger, is that your question? Yeah. Yeah. So this is a third-party tool called ManyChat. ManyChat is something that integrates with Facebook Messenger so that you can, it's kind of like a little CRM for Facebook Messenger. They're trying to get this built out internally. It is available. If you're a developer, you can go to facebookdevelopers.com and you're going to have to code it, which is going to be complicated. So they have this tool for you, and you can just purchase a subscription. It's free if you want the free version, which gives you a lot of stuff. If you want the pro version, it's like $10 a month. So it's definitely worth it. So, yeah. Any questions about ManyChat or Facebook ads or anything we've talked about?
So to simplify what ManyChat does, it's like those automated, like when you call a doctor's office, and you go through the computerized phone directory.
But not as annoying.
But, yeah. And with much more flexibility.
Right.
Conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can broadcast them on a regular basis, right? Provide them value. I mean, you can set up an ad with this where someone can, you know, you can make some type of offer, you know, free Bible studies, right? And they click and it shoots them a PDF with a Bible study on why does God allow suffering. And now that person subscribed to a list in your ManyChat and you can follow up with them, right? So you can generate leads for your church for Bible study interest doing this.
So I assume this is, you can only do this to people who are like your Facebook contacts?
Nope. You can send an ad out to them. So let's see. It's not just a messenger. You can actually publish the ad in the Facebook ad platform. And it'll show up in their news feed. It'll show up in Messenger. You can select the placements for it. Yeah.
Will it also go to people's
email
that, for people that don't use Facebook?
No. It's just within the Facebook ad product.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, if there's no more questions in regards to that, I want to tell you guys about something. We weren't able to open up this can of worms because Facebook was a big enough can of worms for us. We couldn't even get through that totally. But just so you know, you can, if you're a nonprofit, you can get Google Ad Grants, right? And they'll award you up to $10,000 a month in ad spend. So you can go here, google.com/grants/how to apply, and you can apply for one of these. And it's a big tax write-off for Google, so they're happy to do it. And then you can start learning how to set up Google Ads, which I just don't have time to get into that, but just know they have a lot of similar features like Facebook, and the platform is a little bit different in the sense that it's dealing with search. So, you know, when it comes to Facebook ads, we're just targeting people based on the interests, and with search, we're targeting people based on keywords that they're actually typing in to the search engine. So someone could be typing in, does God exist, right? And we're targeting them, which, you know, for example, we're doing the ad campaign for Jesus on Prophecy this year. So all across the state of Michigan, we're bidding on all the spiritual, religious-related terms that people are typing into the search engine because we want those people to go visit the website. Because once they hit the website, there's a pixel installed, and they're going to be retargeted on Facebook, YouTube, and Google Display Network. So you want to definitely check this out for your nonprofit or your church, and just know it's, you do, yeah. Okay. You do get sometimes a little bit better quality traffic from Google search because the keyword that they're typing in or the search term reveals their intent, right? Dentist near me. I know this person's looking for a dentist, right? Whereas on Facebook, I could just be targeting people in my local area, and I don't know if they're looking for a dentist at that time, right? So you can also do this on YouTube where you're targeting people based on the recent search queries in YouTube. You can actually place ads on a specific channel. So if you know that people are watching this, you know, Christian guy on YouTube that's speaking a bunch of heresy on, you know, prophecy and stuff like that, you can target his channel with a pre-roll ad that gives them a breakdown of Daniel 2, and now they're going to be there and be like, oh, this is exactly what I was going to look for, but these guys are way better. Let me go click to their channel and watch all their videos, right? So just know we're scratching the scratch of the scratch of the surface here with this, and this is a really awesome tool for us to win souls. Excuse me, I have really bad allergies this week, but we're using this tool to win souls, and God is giving us an opportunity in this time. And we don't know how long, you know, the freedoms that we have in this country are going to last. So we need to take advantage of the tool now. So if you guys are wanting to, if you're seeing the potential, become a student, you know. Like I had mentioned before, we want to release a course that walks you guys through every single step. But at this moment, we're kind of all pioneers in this room, which is kind of cool. So I believe in the next, you know, few years, more conferences will have people who are doing this specific thing. I just got back from Pennsylvania. They're looking to hire a guy right now that can do exactly all of this stuff for their conference, right? And it's going to be a huge thing. So the church is taking it seriously. You know, the general conference is doing a bunch of stuff with the Center for Online Evangelism, with search engine optimization, and there's big discussions around running a huge campaign online from that level as well. So,
digital evangelism.
Center for Online Evangelism. Yeah, we're targeting you guys.
So, no, it does work.
Yeah. Probably been getting some ads for ASI too. So, yeah, we're out here, and we're happy that there's a lot of interest. So I don't really want to dive any deeper into some of these other things because it's just going to get too weird. So yeah, I'll answer your question, and then maybe we can do some stuff within Facebook.
Just in general, how do you feel about the effectiveness of Google Ads versus Facebook?
So, I'll kind of give you my strategy for Facebook advertising because I know that you probably weren't here during any of the first ones, which is where I went over it. And the reason why I would do that is just because the short answer is it just depends. So, with Facebook advertising, you have an opportunity to target your local community over and over and over again and build a relationship. Remember, Christ's method of evangelism is to build a relationship with the people before you ask them to do something. So with Facebook advertising, you know, we can target our local community with short little videos that help them in their health, in their spiritual life, in their family, all these different things, and build an influence as a local pastor, as an elder, as an evangelist. And then you can retarget them with offers to come to cooking classes and evangelistic series and things like that, where Google Ads, it will depend on a few different things. One, is, and it's the biggest one, it's search volume. So you may live in a place where there's not a bunch of search volume for the specific keywords that would reveal high intent spiritual interest. So, yeah, it just depends there. But if you're in a place and the search volume is just through the roof for people searching for Bible studies and churches near me and things like that, it could be a good move. Remember, you weren't here. So, how do we choose our channel? We choose our channel of where we're going to place our ads based on where our audience is, right? And so, if our audience is there, if the search volume is there, we need to be advertising there. If our local community is spending time on Facebook, we need to be there as well. So, yeah. Yep.
I'm a little overwhelmed by all different. I can play with event manager and Facebook ads. But the other things you're listing, I don't know if you push those through to us or not, or, you know, like Zeg or whatever it is, and those different things. If you just push the names through, that's all I care. I don't know how much time it is for you to
the links?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got all your guys' emails, and I plan on putting together a big Dropbox file and with all the links and the slides and everything here. And if you guys want those specific resources that I've been sharing with you guys, I'll put the resource links back up on the screen too. So, yeah. Any other questions? No? Okay. There we go.
How strict should a church be when they make an advertisement and using the church's identity standards?
In using the identity standards that I shared yesterday with the general conference, or? Oh, sorry. Yes, okay. I think everybody should follow it. And I just got off the phone with Types and Symbols yesterday, who is a design agency that did that. And, we want to definitely do more. You know, there's no 100% plan that we're going to do anything right now, but we want to do more where there's not only just the brand identity with logos and stuff like that, but we want to do messaging so that all of the churches are using the same message, right? Communicating the same message. So it's very important. I think all the churches should be using it. And again, for those of you who don't or weren't here yesterday, there's on the General Conference's website, there's a identity kit for the Seventh-day Adventist Church where you can download our logos and the colors, the typeface and all of that stuff. It's right there for you. You can download it in PNG files, and use it for your Facebook page.
I use that a lot.
Good.
I know that the majority of the church does not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How are we supposed to do with different ministries?
Well, people have free will, and this is God's problem, right? He's looking at us like everybody has free will. You know, this is it's challenging. So, I think over time, more people will start seeing the benefit of it. So, right now we can pray for them. That's what we can do. So, yeah. So going back to this, because I know we're wrapping up here, just for those of you who weren't here and are just jumping in, I just want to do a quick overview here. We are in Facebook Business Manager. You're going to set one of these up by going to business.facebook.com. This is going to be really beneficial for you guys in setting up ads and doing all of that stuff. So once you, and I have a little resource link that I'll provide at the end for you guys so you guys can walk through this. It's an outline of setting this account up and all that stuff. So you can do that. And then once you're in here, you go up to the menu bar and you can go to Ads Manager. And then in Ads Manager, you have all of these different things here, but we're just going to create a campaign. So create a campaign. I recommend if you're using videos, you use video views objective. Basically, at this level, you're just telling the Facebook software, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. And Facebook understands who its users are. So it knows if you're a user who typically visits websites, engages with posts, watches videos, all of that stuff. So the software is very smart. And if you give it some basic instructions, it'll do a really good job. So let's say we're doing video views. From there, we're going to go down here. And I know I haven't been touching on this too much, but make sure you label everything correctly, because when you're running split tests and you're trying to go back in later and decipher what's going on, if things aren't labeled, it's just going to get really, really, really confusing. So label everything. So at this level, we would have already have created, you know, either our custom audiences or saved audiences, or you can just build it all out in here. I like to do it ahead of time because it saves me time. And in order to pull in your custom audiences, you just click there, and they'll all be right there for you. And then for saved audiences, click right there, and they're all right there. And you can just pull them in, and then from that, you're now able to select some other parameters. Again, if you get too tight here where you're audience that you're trying to reach is too small, the amount of money you're going to pay to reach that audience is going to significantly increase, because you have to think about it this way. There's only so many people logging onto Facebook in a day, and they're spending so much time. Now, I don't know how much time it is, and I don't know how many people are logging in during a day, but there's a number to it, right? And advertisers are trying to reach those same people that you are. So there's only a certain amount of positions available within the Facebook product for your ads to show. So if there's a lot of advertisers going after the same audience you are, and you're only going after a really small audience, and they're only logging on for a short amount of time, the chance of your ad getting shown are, you know, a lot smaller, and you're going to pay a lot more for it. So I recommend actually going after a little bit larger audience in the beginning, and then, you know, shrink it down over time, you know, run some split tests. If you're a church that lives in a place where your population is under 50,000, I would say, and you're spending, you know, about $1,000, $2,000 in ad spend, I would say, you know, split test a little bit, but other than that, I wouldn't optimize your campaign right off the front end with a bunch of split tests. What I would do is I would target that really broad audience, get engagement video views, things like that, create a custom audience based off of those video views, engagement, and then retarget those people, because now you've already cut the fat by doing that. So does that make sense? Are there any questions on that and how to do that? No? Okay. And then from here, you can edit the placements. If you want to understand more of these placement options, just Google Facebook ad specs, and they'll break down all the different criteria for each one of these. But know that you do have total control with an ads manager to make your ads show up in certain places. And certain options are more competitive, because most advertisers are going after this, the news feed, which performs very well, but there are some other places that you can advertise that do really good and are getting more and more traction, and less advertisers are advertising there. So some of those places include Instagram stories and Facebook stories, where a lot of people just sit there on their Instagram or their Facebook and they click the story, And then it just pulls them in, and they just keep going for the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and then they've been sitting there for 15 minutes, and they forgot why they were doing it, and they've consumed like 30 ads, and so it's a good place to be. Another one to do is in-stream videos, where, oh yeah, by the way, these have to be vertical, which I always get this backwards. Is it 9x16 or 16x9? 16x9. There we go. So it has to be vertical. If you want that. That's 16x9?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's 9x16. It's 9x16. Okay. I always get it backwards. Okay, so it has to be vertical. These can be 15-second videos, or they can be stagnant graphics. The call to action, if there's a button associated with it, all they have to do is swipe up, and they'll take them to a link, right? You can do 15-second video clips in a row for Instagram or Facebook stories. And then these ones right here, in-stream videos, these are the non-skippable pre- or mid-roll videos, similar to YouTube. You know, you're on YouTube, watching a video, an ad pops up, and it's skippable, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, skip. These ones are non-skippable, and you can have them up to 15 seconds. So when people are watching videos on Facebook, then the next one comes up, and they, you know, they sit there forever because they're just consuming content because the next one comes up and loads. Eventually, there'll be some in-stream ads within those videos. So this is another place to advertise. And a lot of people don't advertise here because they're not creating their ads with the nuance, right? They're not creating the vertical graphics or videos that are 15 seconds long. And they're not creating the in-stream video ads that are 15 seconds long or less. So these are a little bit more competitive.
What's the difference between a news feed and a story? I'm not clear.
So it'd be easier if I could do this on mobile. So here are the stories. I don't know, I hesitate clicking on some of these. I have a lot of non-Adventist friends because, you know, I've only been an Adventist church for 3 years now, but hopefully he doesn't do anything weird. Okay, he's doing something weird. So that's a story. Okay, so I apologize, everyone. Sanctify your minds. So those are stories over there, and then these are newsfeed. This is the newsfeed. So
when you just post up, that's it defaults. He gives you two choices. Do you want it to be a story or feed? And I always put it in both, so I don't know.
Well, when you're posting something organically, yeah. Okay. Sometimes it's
so I do both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I be more discerning?
So the way that I look at stories is it's throwaway content. It expires, right? Little short updates throughout the day. You know, keep your community engaged. They know who you are. You're building rapport with them. But it's going to expire, you know, after 24 hours. Whereas feed, you know, you publish it. The intention is to keep it there forever, right? So a little bit more high quality content here. And then, you know, throwaway content over here for sure.
So you're not cluttering. It's one goes, it's like a book, the other one's like a newspaper.
Yeah. It's a good way to think about it. Very good. So, yeah, like, to be honest with you, like, learning the platform and kind of, like, seeing what's good and, you know, what's really sticky as far as consumable content goes.
Sticky is good.
Yeah, sticky is good. So go in there and just kind of use it. But I always tell people to use it with caution. Like, even though I'm a you know, digital marketer and a Facebook guy and all that stuff, like, I don't actually spend a ton of time on social media for fun. Like, I hardly ever post and stuff like that. To me, it's like business. So it's what I do for work, and I just kind of, you know, put it over there. But I do spend time. When I do spend time on here, I'm not like looking at that stuff. I'm going through here. I'm looking for ads. That's what I do. I look for ads. You guys are like, I hate ads. I look for them, and I look at the copy, look at the video the graphic that they're using, and I click on the link, and I go to the page, and I spend a little bit of their money, you know, but I'm nice about it. So, you know, I analyze it all, right, because I'm just fascinated with it. So
it's just kind of like with me. Some people use a computer for games. I never use it for games.
Yeah.
It's more important than games.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't use it for games either. So, Yeah, but just always be cautious. Don't spend way too much time on social media and you know, all that stuff, but just get familiar with it.
Do you have a NAD or a GC account that we could just kind of see what you're doing and kind of watch you a little bit?
What do you mean?
An NAD one or GC one, because I thought we had a lot of content to it, whatever one we're looking at. I saw you had the Battle Creek one, and you had another one.
Like
targeting it, so I was trying to pick them. You're likely to have targets, so we can see your whole.
Oh yeah, so like big one that I'm doing for the GC right now is this one.
I think that's so amazing, the Geos research, which was kind of like
the dinosaur of the church.
Nobody knew who they were. It's just they were on the corners of campus. They moved since, but he's like, did anybody ever walk in that door? And now you're doing Facebook.
And they're doing well. We've grown their page by 8,000 people over the past month.
And what was interesting about it, you came to the bottom of that, and I think there was actually a place where you could click on doing the, to be able to get their messenger feed. And I thought it was interesting you guys had that at the bottom like that. It was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, for example, the event we're promoting here for them is Creation Sabbath. And so Creation Sabbath happens on the fourth Sabbath of every October, and it started about 10 years ago, and I don't remember the exact gentleman's name who started it, but the reason they started the initiative was primarily for...
tie the two together.
Yeah, to tie the two together, but there's a... Darwin had published his book, like, I don't remember, 50, 100 years before, or something like that. 200 years, I don't remember.
1349.
Something like that. So they started to... You know, there was like anniversary of his book, so they kind of like did this whole Creation Sabbath thing, and you know, it's kind of stuck. But we're trying to get more traction, and something like this for us is like, sure, we can build awareness. You know, give us a big enough ad spend budget, we'll you know knock it out of the park with some creatives, which we've worked with. You know, both really good creators for this project. Types and Symbols did all of the graphics; they're amazing. And then Mark Payton, who's a pretty well-known videographer in the church, did all the videos for this. And they're really good. Go check them out. You know, like this one, it's kind of funny. It talks about how the parrotfish eats coral and poops out sand. So, And for us, like, raising awareness isn't the issue. It's tracking success. Like I asked them before I took on the project, what's the metric for success? And like, we just want more people to be aware and get involved. And so I'm like, well, how do I track involvement? You know, I can't, you know, really track that if they're not hitting like registration page or something like that. So nobody has to sign up for it. So what we're doing is we're kind of creating our own little track success metrics here, KPIs. So we ran a messenger ad, we're still running it, where if you plan on celebrating Creation Sabbath, we're providing you with sermon prep material, and you can opt in to get the sermon prep material. So if you opt into our messenger bot, you get sermon prep material, and if you did that, that tells me that you're probably going to have Creation Sabbath at your church. So that's a, kind of a way that we're tracking that a little bit. We're also going to run ads for surveys and stuff like that to retargeting these audiences. And we're doing worldwide, so I'll tell you right now, like, we spent like $1,600, we've reached 1 million people. Which is crazy, right? And it's because our media buying options for targeting the entire world it's like unlimited, because Facebook's just making sure it gets the cheapest bid because of how we have it set up. And, when you're targeting like third world countries, you can get a much lower bid for media placements because a lot of the big brands are never, you know, they're not competing over there. So, you know, I envision like, you know, online evangelistic series where, I mean, imagine that. Target the entire world, $1,600, we could reach 1 million people. We could finish the work pretty quick, right? Get a big enough budget, you know, create a pretty cool sequence and, you know, have like Mark Finley or one of these awesome guys up there. There's so much we can do, guys. Like, as pioneers, we need to be you know, studying the different methods of arresting the attention of the general public with the intention that we're winning souls, right? And God is giving us a lot of opportunity right now. So, I don't. Yeah, I don't do any coding. I'm not a developer like that. They have a web page right now, but they're working on it. Yeah, they're updating it right now. But any questions before we close? I know we went over by 3 minutes, but no? Okay.
But my question was what can you do for free? Because
what can you do for free?
Especially on the local church level.
Local church level.
The top three things.
I would say free is really challenging to do. I would say become a student. If you're trying to do something, you know, for free, become a student by just YouTubing things. And again, I'm not going to give you certain accounts and things because they use a lot of profanity, and I don't want to like recommend you go listen to profanity and all that stuff. But YouTube people, find someone you like, you know, learn from them. We plan on creating a course so that you guys can learn all of that stuff and not have to pay an agency or an outsider to do it all for you. So that's number one. And once you do that, you'll be able to take your iPhone, you know, which many of you already have, and create videos, and go on Canva.com, which is a free graphic design platform, and create graphics, and Pexels and Unsplash, which are free stock photo websites, and create graphics from those. So that'll definitely get you started. I would say those are some free things you can do. I would say it's a pay-to-play game today. You know, when I advertise for, just for example, for GYC, we put something out organically. It may reach 1,000, 2,000 people, the most, organically, and they have about 39,000 followers on their page. It's just a small percentage. When we pay for it, it's reaching like 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people. And that's only by putting like $10, $15 behind the post. You know, so basically organic, you're competing over, again, placements in the newsfeed, and people are subscribed to 100 different pages. They've got on average 500 to 1,000 friends. So Facebook needs to determine which piece of content gets delivered to you, and they prioritize your content when you throw them a few bucks. So that's definitely a recommendation. And you know, with all their algorithm updates, it's like before you could kind of hack their algorithm and get a bunch of engagement from your friends and family to rank your stuff higher. It just doesn't work anymore, right? So just give them a few bucks. They just want your money. And make them happy, and they'll make you happy. All right. Well, let's pray. And then if you guys have any questions, come up to me afterwards. We'll chat. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to be here during the week. It's been great. I've learned some, and I hope you guys did too. So thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for giving us such an amazing opportunity to win souls in this generation. Lord, my belief level is through the roof that you can come in our lifetime. And we're sick and tired of this dying world. We're sick and tired of all of the things that happen around us, and we just want to see you come. And Lord, we love you, and we just pray that you would help us to take advantage of this opportunity to become students, to seek different ways of reaching the lost. We pray that you put that burden on our hearts and change our character so that we can reflect to you in our daily lives. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.